categories of the patients. There are patients who are paying patients, and there are patients who are free or below poverty line, like the card holders, who go ahead with Ayushman Bharat, or probably might go ahead with a charitable institute, or probably might have some financial institute sponsoring them for the treatment. Educated with the insurance coverage patients, they are either self-insured, group-insured, or employer-funded. There is a demand, high-quality service, aware of the health rights. So every patient demands a high-quality service, and people are currently being very much aware about the health rights which are being published everywhere inside the hospitals for as a norm purpose by the government. They can lodge complaint with the Consumer Forum for medical negligence. State Medical Council and MCR track complaint against the doctors. So even for the insurance purposes, if at all there is a complaint, or if they find there is a negligence which has been happened, there's an ombudsman court which has been set up by the government, where all the insurance cases are being judged or been given equal rights in a particular way. Parliamentary committee report on increasing incidence of negligence has been submitted in every parliamentary discussions. Now, what happens basically for a weaker section, economically weaker section? Annual income between 50,000 to 1 lakh is called as an economical weaker section. For per family, basically, 10% beds are reserved in any corporate hospital on a concessional rate. Public charitable hospital contribute 2% gross billing on an indigent patient fund. Donations for BPL patients credited directly to this fund. Disputes referred to the state government via the charity commissioners, and ensuring annual balance sheet reflects donation for BPL. Any person who is coming under this category of 50,000 to 1 lakh is given a concessional rate at any corporate hospital. Most of the hospitals in India are running as a charitable or a charitable or a institutional hospitals, where they fund the patients who are coming from a BPL or a below poverty line background. There's an annual balance sheet for entire corporate section of the hospital, where they ensure that this reflects the charitable funding done for the patients is been captured. There's additional benefit for BPL patients through state governments and charity commissioner, which gives either a CM fund allocations or PM funds allocation for getting the healthcare facilities or healthcare requirement accomplished for in the corporate hospitals. Health insurance coverage. There are different types of healthcare insurance which are being provided. There is government-aided, private-owned, self-taken, group insurance. There's a floater scheme also, and health insurance with the riders. Now, just to explain, basically, government-aided are the aided organizations. Government actually provides Ayushman Bharat and state-run health policies. So these are basically government-aided health insurance which are being provided. Private-owned, the self-owned, self-taken insurance are basically available across all the aspects of the India. Group insurance are basically taken by constitution or by companies or a manufacturing or a healthcare company or a group of institutions for their employees. This is a floater scheme basically, where particular section of the healthcare aspect is been covered, whereas rest is been borne by the patient itself. And health insurance with riders with some of the disease conditions probably getting involved for the insurance coverage, and the other being eliminated. Settlement to third party assessment for cashless treatment. So all these insurance are being settled by third party assurance companies for any cashless treatments. There is better coverage for all this treatment. Currently, government has been implementing some norms in health insurance with Mediclaim, ESIS, Religare, and ICICI. So they are pushing ahead with all the cashless facilities. Earlier it was for the compliances which were with that insurance companies. Now it has gone ahead with providing all the healthcare system, going ahead with all the treatment plans, as well as providing all the insurance coverage at their locations. Exploring various health insurance scheme for specific disease conditions like heart transplant. There is a regulation basically which has been covered for implants and stents which are being taken into place. There is a capping which is done by the government currently for coverage of this particular sections. Corporate patients working in large corporates, employee receive a medical coverage from large and multinational companies. It is part and parcel of their basically salaries. Public and government owned corporations provide this cashless treatment. Most of the companies like Infosys or Mahindra or any of the major institutions have been providing this as their value-added service to the employees, and this is provided to large hospital network. So basically this insurance part which has been provided to the corporate patients or the corporate patients which are their part of the this particular systems, they are taking admissions into the hospital through hospital network understanding with that particular corporate parks or corporate segments, and the admissions are done and the pay happens from the corporate companies itself. So employee admission based on the grade and basic pay in the panel. So basically other than insurance, there is some part where hospital plays a vital role. Hospital starts collaborating with the corporates and provide a proper care in any situation, be it lifestyle disease, be it hospital admission. They based on the grade of the employee, they provide the care and they provide the hospital admissions also. There's a social cost benefit ratio also in hospital planning. For developing countries like India, there is a society affordability factor which comes into play. So strategic planning of the cost and financial aspects are the crucial part where we understand what exactly would be the tariff of particular segment. There is no uniformity of surgical aspects or admission aspects of any patient inside the hospital. Government have started taking some initiative by bringing out NRHM and setting up some apex healthcare centers and exploring their facilities with under PPP models for dialysis or probably tapping in for certain sections. But there are some sections which are being still undetermined or all unattended for that purpose. So where society cost benefit ratio has been taking is proving to be a major aspect or probably the key aspect in understanding the benefit of it. Earlier there was no capping, so a stent or probably the implants which were available varied from the cost from metro to villages or rural area. Now due to the capping or probably due to the structured part, every healthcare initiative or every scheme which has been implemented by the government, it is reaching out to each and every loop and corner of the hospitals, healthcare facilities across India. National social economic development, national incomes and indicators. GNP and GDP measures the country economic strength. Per capita GNP and GDP indicates national wealth on individual basis. Country with higher per capita GNP are industrial developed. GNI includes income from abroad and GDP excludes it. So this is what basically National Social or Economic Development Forum basically consists of. Just to give a key aspect, what exactly GDP and GNP means or GNI includes. Purchase Power Parity, PPP, facilitates the international economic comparison. Gross domestic saving represents the excess of current income over expenditure. Per capita income in India is comparatively low, impacting the healthcare planning. and government of India aims to address public health challenges. So what happens is basically there is a challenge in India with purchase power parity. There's an international, according to the latest report which has been submitted by government of India, Indian government has been increasing in purchase power parity ratio, but it's the increasing capacity is only limited to the regions of A grade cities, whereas B and C grade cities are still finding it difficult to come up to that level. So domestic saving represent basically excess of current income or expenditure. So the income wages which have been provided in India, though it has been normed and it has been categorized and it has been said and documented in a particular way, the current average income, daily wage income, is less than what is compared internationally. So per capita income in India is comparatively low. That's why whenever it comes to implementing any healthcare strategy or probably having planned healthcare setup beneficence, people give it a secondary importance rather than giving a primary importance. So that's why government of India is not able to address that much challenges in a proper way. But currently, with some of the strategies, with implementations of some of the schemes and some of the policies, Indian government is able to cater the lower sections or probably the weaker section of the society in a proper way and giving them the chance to survive as well as to have a healthy lifestyle by implementing certain schemes like Ayushman Bharat or the Mahatma Phule Yojana, which is being implemented in Maharashtra. So government has been trying to cope up with these health challenges and give an additional benefit or a healthcare benefit to the people. Government initiatives in healthcare, basically introduction of national rural health missions, which makes aware about ongoing advancement or ongoing experiments which are been going in for the healthcare development. Establishments of the apex healthcare centers equivalent to AIIMS, which would cater larger community at a reasonable rate or probably at free of cost during epidemic emergencies and during advanced technologies. Upgrading community health centers and district health hospitals. Earlier we used to say that government hospitals are not that much equipped or probably they are not quality conscious. But currently in recent trends it has been growing in such a way that few of the government hospitals have gone ahead with NABH collaborations and few have even gone ahead with JCI accreditations for that purpose. Government is trying to implement PPP models for improvement and upgrading of these community health centers, and which has resulted into privatization as well as providing a quality care for the rural sections. There is a focus on how exactly the pure water supply, proper sewage system and better immunization coverage could be given to the society. There are ongoing efforts to improve existing healthcare facilities and infrastructure. Every year the budgeting has particular segment on improvement of the healthcare facilities and infrastructure and rebuilding or probably institutionalize the new facilities for the healthcare in a particular section. Commitment to provide essential healthcare at reasonable or fee cost and consideration of social economic factors in healthcare facility planning. Demographic trends and population health. There are fundamental considerations. Demographic trends influence the healthcare needs and facility planning. Aging population may require specialized healthcare for age-related conditions. Rapidly growing regions necessitate increased primary care facilities in schools. Thriving metropolitan experiences population surges require strategic expansion. Population health data informs preventive care, lifestyle interventions. These are also involved into the healthcare planning. Collaborations with the public healthcare organizations for targeted interventions, predicting future healthcare demands through demographic and health data, and proactive resource allocation based on anticipation of the healthcare needs. There is population health consideration, which is based on analysis of the health disease prevalence, lifestyle factors, and social determinants. High prevalence of the chronic disease, which may require focused preventive care. Community health centers offering regular screening of the health education, and healthcare planners anticipating and allocation of the resource efficiently. There is an upward trend in lifestyle-related disease, prompting to preventive health programs, allocations of resource for smoking cessation clinics and obesity, integrations of health status data for tailored healthcare services, utilization of data for long-term planning, and effective resource distribution. There are regulatory and accreditation standards basically established for compliances in the healthcare. Healthcare facilities adhere to government regulations for safety and ethical conduct. There are regulatory standards by varied regions in US by CMS sets regulations. There's a HIPAA by US which regulates the patient information and privacy section. So currently India is also in terms to regulate or probably go ahead with HIPAA considerations and formulating Indian own norms for insurance coverage. Comprehensive record keeping as well as the evidence for the compliance has to be taken into consideration for that purpose. There are accreditations by JCI, Joint Commission for Accreditation for the quality care, as well as accreditation standards over facility layout, emergency response, patient safety. Non-compliance can lead to penalties, legal consequences, and reputation damage. Efficient storage and retrieval of electronic health records are vital in this compliance. So when there is an accreditation done by JCI for that purpose, it focuses on all the aspects of layout, emergency, patient safety, as well as it penalizes, as well as there is some legal, international legal consequences, as well as there is a reputation damage for that particular healthcare organization. There are some safety and quality ethical conducts which are being conducted. There are healthcare facilities which aim for accreditation for reputed organization. Joint Commission rigorously follows a standard cover for all aspects of operations. Non-compliance results in financial penalties and reputed damage. Accreditation enhances the patient trust basically and attracts healthcare professionals. Efficient record keeping is crucial for evidence of regulatory compliance. Healthcare planners must design the facility which meet the accreditation standards. Balancing compliances with the efficiency in storage and retrieval of the records. Healthcare policy and reimbursement landscape. The impact of healthcare planning. Basically, healthcare policies which reflects a country's priorities and values. There are policies which are changes and access to the healthcare insurance and service across the globe. Affordability Care, ACA, introduced reforms emphasizing preventive care. ACA led to increased investment in preventive healthcare programs and electronic health records. Reimbursement model shifting from free for service to value-based care has increased. Value-based care emphasizes outcomes and influencing the care coordination and engagement have also created a better change. Telehealth and remote monitoring gain prominence in value-based models are the key aspects of it. Healthcare planners need to strategize and align with new payment models, the digital payment as well as the online payments as they are going ahead with the digital revolution. Healthcare policies drive shifts in care of delivery and resource allocation. ACA mostly emphasizes on preventive care influences, facilities planning, and care coordination. Value-based care requires strategies for enhanced care coordination and engagement. Payment models shape the adaptation of the technology such as telemedicine and remote monitoring. Proactive planning for future policies, changes, and reimbursement models is essential. Healthcare planners must anticipate and adapt an evolving policy landscape. The collaborations with policymakers to align facility planning and national health priorities. strategies are been to navigate and navigate the transition from free to service to value-based care models. There are some strategies which are being involved, which there are most of the organizations currently striving or probably bringing in the change to have a care-based model or probably patient-first approach and health need approach. And these are been proving effective in providing the care. There's a blockchain in healthcare. Blockchain secures healthcare electronic health records and streamlined data sharing. Patient medical history is securely stored and assessed by authorized providers. Currently, data has been a gold, and this data has to be secure or probably has to be stored in a proper manner. Enhanced data security through encryptions and secure access controls. Streamline administrative process with smart contracts for billing. The blockchain also helps in supporting the data integrity, transparency of the healthcare operations. It impacts on healthcare planning and considers the data security measures. Efficiency in storage and retrieval of the electronic health records. These blockchain appliances also help in extend to billing claims, processing and administrative work chains also. Internet of Things or IoT in healthcare. Basically, IoT devices emphasizes on patient cares and monitoring. It's a continuous tracking of vital signs and health metrics through variable sensors. Real-time transmission of the patient data to healthcare providers for proactive interventions, reduction in health admissions, readmissions and monitoring. Integration of equipment maintenance, asset tracking and healthcare facilities. It also helps in managing and locating the medical devices. The care or probably the AMCs or the malfunctioning of the equipments are being taken care of by these models. There's a long-term planning attached to these technological adaptations which integrates the healthcare facilities. Thank you.